first lesson from Psalm 5 was about a prayerful person in God's presence. The second lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 6. Some of words of Jesus about prayer. I'm reading beginning with verse 5. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you're praying, do not heap empty phrases up as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is the word of the Lord. So one evening some years ago, when we were putting our children to bed, there was a call from one of our children from the room after I had left. This child was probably about 6 years old at the time. We'd already had a short bedtime story. We had said our evening prayers. We had kissed goodnight. And I had turned off the light and left the room. Daddy? And with a pause and some frustration, I went back into the room and I said, yes. And the child said with surprising confidence, I don't believe in God. And I said, really? Yes. We say our prayers every night and we never hear anything back. Christians of every age, Christians of every stage, have struggled with the same issue. Just this past week, I had a long conversation with someone struggling with life's challenges, feeling like prayers go unanswered, feeling discouraged, even to the point of wondering if God exists. These are real issues for us. Or maybe it was like the time I was visiting in the hospital. I was visiting the husband of a lady who was very active in the life of church, but the husband almost never came to church. But he was in the hospital, so I decided to visit him. At the end of a brief visit, I asked him if we could pray. And he said, yes, it's fine. It's fine if you pray. I'm not sure I believe, but I'm encouraged that you believe, so pray if you want. So I prayed. I prayed for God's Spirit to bring comfort and healing and care into that room and to every room in that hospital. And I realized that the man was braver than most of us. He said what many of us ponder, and he articulated what many of us are hesitant to speak. What is prayer? Who are we who pray? Does prayer work? How do we become more prayerful, spiritual, faithful people, especially in the complex world, the frustrations with which we live every day? What do we do? What do we do when our prayers so often seem unanswered? These are all questions, real questions that came from you as I asked for pertinent sermon topics recently from you. That's what I got back from a number of you. In the first of the great Institutes of the Christian Religion, the first volume, it's a two-volume set, written by the father of Presbyterianism, John Calvin. John Calvin affirms that every human being is essentially a religious creature. No one, he says, is exempt from doing business with God. Deep within each of us, There's a longing for, a quest for God. All human beings have this longing. Calvin calls this the seed of religion, or the sense of divinity. Every culture has had some aspect always of worship or a search for sacred life. Every culture across the ages seemingly has made some attempt to connect with the divine. No matter how far one might drift from God, even to the point of denying God's existence, Calvin says that this seed, this sense of divinity, cannot be uprooted. It cannot be lost. It's part of who we are, every human being. We are shaped for a relationship with God, the Eternal One. Calvin also says that this seed of religion, this sense of divinity, this longing for the sacred, would inevitably lead every one of us to one of two responses: piety or idolatry. The way we are made leads us either to a reverence, a longing to love and serve God, a longing to trust God's presence and purposes and God's kingdom coming into the whole world, or it would lead us to manufacture substitutes for God, creaturely deities that we want to lift up for God. We would either know and love and serve the God of the universe, or we would become veritable factories of idols. Factories manufacturing all kinds of substitutes for God. What is prayer? Who are we who pray? Does prayer work? How do we become more prayerful, more spiritual people? And what do I do with that strong sense that my prayers go unanswered? These are all questions that emerge from our desire to grow in piety. They are questions that are wanting to be answered as we nurture that seed of divinity. We're seeking to claim our divine connections and grow toward God with our daily life. We may have, as Calvin says, that seed, but it needs to be nurtured, it needs to be watered, it needs to be brought to life. Our piety needs our attention, our effort. It doesn't happen automatically. This is where prayer plays a vital role. It's a means of grace. It's a gift from God that we might nurture that seed. Do you recall the name Jean Piaget? Jean Piaget was a psychologist of the last century who is most famous for helping us understand the developmental nature of childhood. Piaget asked the question, how does knowledge grow? How does it seep into us? How do things become part of us? And the discovery he made was that every child goes through a series of cognitive developments. Almost all of us do it in the same order, though not necessarily at the same pace. So just as a child can only walk and talk when the child is ready, there's a series of stages that we all go through before we mature, and there are no shortcuts. All of this is what Piaget helps us understand about human nature and human development. One of my favorite theologians, Jonathan Sacks, likes to say that we live by faith. We become disciples. We become spiritual people. We grow that seed of divinity, and it's more like Piaget than Plato. We may have the seed of divinity, but we are ever evolving. We're ever changing. We're moving through life and its stages and its challenges. Truth is not something we can discover at one time. Life and faith are both developmental processes. Therefore, we need to keep nurturing that faith. We need to keep looking for ways to be connected to God. We need to keep allowing God's promises and God's presence to seep deep into us and into our lives. We wish that truth could be discovered at one time. Here it is, like Plato. But our remembering and our journey And our growing with God is ongoing, and it demands development. Applying the faith to our changing, challenging lives, linking our lives continually to God and to God's covenant and to God's presence and to God's promises. It's an ongoing journey. Prayer, friends, is one of the ways we keep working on. Prayer is one of the ways we keep development going along the way. Prayer is one of the gifts that God offers us and encourages in us that we might become more and more the kind of faithful, spiritual, wholesome people that God makes us to be. All through the Bible and all through the history of faithful life with God, prayer is the primary means, or certainly a primary means, by which we keep our hearts open. Prayer is a primary means that we connect to the holy. Prayer is a primary means that we find life and purpose as God's people. So you heard Psalm 5 already. Psalm 5 reveals one whose life is rooted in God. Psalm 5 reveals one who's connected to the eternal. Psalm 5 is basically a prayer. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. The words reflect one who wants to live a life of devotion, a heart open to God, turning from evil, moving away from arrogance, living with righteousness and reverence. That's what that psalm is about. From morning to evening, life is lived in God's presence. And this is the kind of life in God's presence, the psalm says, that brings goodness and joy. And then early in the story of Jesus, already in Matthew 6, Jesus speaks about prayer. Prayer is crucial to those who seek faithful life. Prayer is about striving to ground life in God. So Jesus has some warnings about it. He says, when you pray, and the you here in this verse is singular and specific, implying that praying is part of life. Praying is part of living with God. Praying is part of becoming who God made us to be. Praying is part of growing in piety. When you pray, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites or the phony people. Too many people pray for show, to impress others. Too many people pray to gain attention for themselves, not connections to God. Do not do that, Jesus says. When you pray, go into your room, meaning the most secluded part of your house, the place that you can lock even, the most private place inside your house. Go in there where only God will see you and where God will meet you. There you will make real connections to God. There you'll find life. So much of life is horizontal, isn't it? So much of life has to do with others. So much of life today has to do with social media. So much of life has to do with instantaneous connections electronically. So much of life has to do with all kinds of our duties, and we get feedback and we get responses from people, and much of it seduces us. Jesus knows about this. That's why he's speaking about it. We like to please others. We like to share with others. We like to give updates about what we're doing and ourselves and our pursuits, right? We like to impress others and win accolades and get attention. Jesus knows about this. But when it comes to prayer, Jesus warns us. Prayer is different. Prayer is more. Prayer is about the vertical, not the horizontal. Prayer is about the vertical, and Jesus wants us to keep it vertical. Find the secluded spot. Be simple and honest with your prayers, he says. It's not about quantity. It's not about heaping phrases upon phrases. It's about nurturing that divine seed and having honest conversations, striving to share life with the one who knows us and made us and meets us right where we are with whatever we're dealing with and promises never, ever to leave us, no matter what we face, no matter what we're dealing with. So does prayer work? In one sense, prayer is God's gift to us, a means of relating our lives to God vertically, helpfully, connecting our lives to the holy, the eternal. So the intent is that prayer works on us, giving us a foundation that's beyond ourselves, giving us a hope that's beyond ourselves, giving us a connection to light in the darkness. Prayer works on us in shaping us as God's people. Prayer works on us in moving us to deeper places of seeing God's presence right where we are, knowing God's promises right where we are. Prayer works on us so that we can trust God's presence right where we are amidst the changes and the challenges that come our way. Prayer works on us to teach us that the circumstances and the challenges of our lives are not all that there is. God is there. Love prevails. And God's love is forever. God holds us in all things. God invites us to keep connecting our lives to the eternal through our prayer. So Jesus says, go into a quiet place and give God your attention. Jesus says, in the midst of the crazy life that is ours, find those moments. Maybe it's in the early morning for you. Maybe it's in a scheduled break during your busy day. Maybe it's in the car when you're finally alone. Maybe it's in some other time, maybe at the end of the day before you turn all the lights out. Maybe it's all of those together too, that we find that secluded time to open our hearts and connect your life, our life, to the eternal, the Holy One, the Living One. It's not for show. It's for wholeness. We're made to be related to God. Our lives are to be connected to God. It's about nurturing a life of piety, not drowning in all the pettiness. Does prayer work? Does it? In another sense, we say no, it doesn't work. God works. See, prayer keeps us connected to God, the hope of all. Prayer connects us to the Savior of all, the loving and the redeeming one. It's not about saying the right words. It's not about doing it the right way. It's about linking our lives to God, who's always at work, giving our life over to that one who holds us in love, who never leaves us. See, we believe in God. We seek to believe more. We seek to trust more. We seek to live in confidence and compassion with reverence and righteousness. And prayer shapes us in that way. Jesus says, go into the secluded place and link your life to God vertically, because God works. Works on you. Works in your life. Works in the world. Yes, indeed, it's true. We may not always see it. We may not always understand how it's going to happen. But that is the promise. God works. And God never leaves us. So does prayer work? From my experience, prayer works on me. And prayer works on us. And prayer also works on God. Prayer works on us to be more godly, more hopeful, more peaceful, the kind of people God calls us to be. And prayer works on God too. Because all through the Bible, there are many places when God hears the prayers of the people and God responds. God hears appeals for healing and God acts. God hears appeals for love and God provides. God hears appeals for fear and God comes. God responds to prayer. God hears our prayers and God responds. So our prayers work on us and our prayers work on God. And what about when our prayers seem unanswered? What about that? When the healing doesn't come. When the peace seems so far away. What about that? When the tears keep flowing. When the relationship can't be healed. When we feel overwhelmed and our prayers go unanswered. What about that? This is when indeed it can get discouraging. Some of you know that Ginger and I enjoy kayaking. Kayaking means getting your boat in the water, getting in your boat, and paddling. Kayaking has become, for me, a prayerful exercise. Sometimes we paddle with the current, and the paddling is easy. Sometimes we paddle against the current, or maybe against the wind, and it can be quite a strain. Sometimes the current even brings waves, rapids that splash in the boat, currents that make it quite fearful, lead to uncertainty and even a sense of threat and dread. In all of it, though, the essential thing, paddle. Paddle, just steady paddling. When you quit paddling, you're more vulnerable to the current. When you quit paddling, you're more vulnerable to the wind and the waves and the splashing. But steady paddling, not frantic, steady paddling is what it's about. It's how you find your way. And each stroke of the paddle is like a prayer, seeking to ground life in God, connect life to the eternal. Each paddle is another effort to navigate the way, to make progress on the journey. Here's the thing. God's promise is that we are held forever. We do not always know how things are going to turn out. We don't know how things are going to unfold. We don't know why circumstances are as they are. We cannot always see or understand how it's going to go. But we know who holds us. We know whose journey we're on. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, Lord, I lay my request on you, before you. It's about life with God. It's about staying connected vertically. This is what God offers us. This is what God does to assure us. This prayer work, prayer works on us. Prayer works on God. Prayer keeps us enfolded in God's care. Prayer connects us to one another, especially when we sincerely pray for those we know and care about. Prayer sustains us in the way of faith, even when it gets dark, and cloudy, and threatening. Prayer reminds us that we are never on our own. That life is more and life is bigger than we are. Life, friends, is rooted, grounded in God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. We believe, O God, help our unbelief, and guide us in the way of prayer, following Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.